Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Writer's Block. I'm Bobby Jean Bell. Kicking off tonight's show, we heard a classic piece of 19th century military brass band music, the Color Guard March, performed on Civil War period instruments by the America's Brass Band. Today's book, Wild Rose Pass, is set in the 1870s in and around the military camp Fort Davis, Texas, and I thought that would be fun music to kick off the show. Before we bring her on, let me tell you about our guest, author Karen Hulene Bartell. Karen was born to Rolling Stone parents who moved annually, and she found her earliest playmates as fictional friends in books. Ghost stories kept her up at night. The paranormal was her passion. Westerns spurred her to write. Wanderlust inherent, Karen enjoyed traveling, and novels offered an imaginative escape. An only child, she began writing her first novel at age 9, learning the joy of creating her own happy endings. An author of 3 series, The Sacred Emblem, Sacred Journey, and Sacred Messenger, today Karen is a best-selling author, keynote speaker, wife, and all-around pilgrim of life. Professor Emeritus of the University of Texas, she calls the Hill Country home. Please welcome to the Writer's Block an author of multicultural offbeat love stories that lift the spirit. We need that now. Karen Hulene Bartell. Welcome, Karen.
Well, thank you, Bobby. I appreciate it. It's wonderful to be here with you.
We had a little applause there in the studio for you. Well, we are so delighted to have you with us today, and we have a lot to cover tonight because this is a really great book. So just to get us started, Karen, why don't you tell us a little bit about your latest book, Wild Rose Pass?
Absolutely. This was a fun book to write. Going back to, dare I mention, the times of the 50s and the shows on TV were so prevalent. And I think those were what influenced me so much. But what actually stirred this in my mind was 16 years ago, my husband and I were taking the road back from Big Bend National Park, and we missed our turnoff. And we ended up going through Fort Davis, Texas. And if you've ever been there, you know it's like these mountains just hovering over the road. It was marvelous. I said, oh, this is it. This is where I'm supposed to be. I fell in love with it and just had to write about it. And then I ran into a friend at church whose great-great-grandfather actually had worked there as a scout, and he had been captured by and raised by the Comanches. So it fit right in with the story, and voila, Wild Rose Pass came to pass.
So 16 years in the making from your original sort of drive through. Had the story sort of been incubating then all that time for you?
No, not really. I'd say it's only been the last 4 or 5 years, but I've never had a story take this long to create. It really was a long time coming. It was a difficult birth.
So I know that you have, as I mentioned in the intro, you've written some 3 different series, and I'm gathering that writing process was quite a bit different for you than Wild Rose Pass, yes?
Absolutely. In fact, Wild Rose Pass is the only book, one of two books that isn't paranormal.
Or right, there's have really paranormal. No paranormal in this one.
Nope. But, yeah, people who like ghosts, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But definitely a book that had to have a tremendous amount of research. But before we talk about your research, why don't you tell us a little bit about your main characters? Because you have quite a cast. And why don't you hit on the top, three or four? Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, I guess my favorite one would have been Ben, because he was a marvelous character. He was the one that is the fictional character of Jose Maria Bill, my friend's great-great-grandfather. Now, I came up with the name Ben Williams because he's partially based on Benjamin Grierson, who had been the commander, we discussed this earlier, at Fort Davis.
Yeah, one of the original commanders after the Civil War, yeah. Right.
Yes, and what had interested me about Grierson was that he had been a music teacher and kind of was a battlefield commissioned officer with no training, no formal training, and had not gone to West Point, had not had any military training whatsoever or experience, but he ended up being actually a general at the end, but he was a commander there at the fort. So I took Ben Williams' name. I took Ben from Benjamin Grierson. And then Williams, it was Jose Maria Bill was the name that my friend's great-great-grandfather had been given, so Williams. So that was their names. But he is, like I said, based on an actual person, raised by the Comanches who'd killed his parents, and first he'd been treated as a slave, then he'd been adopted by a nice family that were Comanches, and traded mula ensilada for a mule and a saddle, and they raised him. And then there was the Guadalupe Hidalgo Treaty, where the Apaches and the Comanches had returned all their captured prisoners, and long story short, he was allowed to come back or given over, but he stayed with them until, and it all came down to a woman. He and his friend saw a young woman, and it was a Comanche, it was the way that when a man wanted to marry a woman, he just didn't ask for her hand, but asked her father for her, and he handed her over. Mm-hmm. So Ben's friend wanted to ask, and he's just kidding. He said, well, I'm going to ask. And it started what was known as bad blood between them, and he had to leave. So then he became and this is all true.
This is the truth. I know there's like a whole book just following his real story. And from my study about Grierson, the same thing. There should be, you know, multiple books about Grierson.
Yes, absolutely.
But
so
anyway.
My character is a combination of those two.
Got it. And then, he is a remarkable gentleman, the way that you capture him in the story. And then, of course, we have Cadence.
Yes, Cadence.
Yes. Tell us about Cadence.
She was always my goodness gracious. She absolutely has her own life. She was not a woman of her time. She was ahead of her time. She was somebody who didn't want to just wear petticoats and play pinochle and drink tea with the officers' wives. She wanted to do something. She wanted to accomplish something. And she ended up being a school marm, which was absolutely against all her father believed in. She was going to earn a living, and she said no. And she made split skirts so she could ride saddle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, astride the horse. She went riding with a young officer, which is absolutely no-no. And she did get into a bit of hot water as a result because of discussion behind her back. But she had also tutored one of the Buffalo soldiers, which was uncommon. And she had also adopted a Spanish American child mm-hmm. when she wasn't married. And mm-hmm. so she was ahead of her time.
Yeah, a bit of a trendsetter. So this, of course, is taking place in a military fort in the late 1870s or so. And we're at Fort Davis. And Cadence's dad is the commander. Captain Samuel McShane is the commander of Fort Davis. And his wife, Helen. And there are all kinds of protocols, which you cover beautifully in the book, about life within a military outpost. And this is an outpost that has as its soldiers the 9th and 10th Cavalry of Black enlisted men who become known as Buffalo Soldiers. Is sort of a name that they earn. And they play a role in this book. It's set, of course, you had to do a tremendous amount of research because you've set it in a specific place at a specific time at a real place.
Yeah.
And they're wearing long dresses and there's ways they create food and so forth. You want to talk a little bit about your research that you had to do?
Absolutely. Part of it was I was so unhappy. I had to make trips out to Fort Davis. No, I'm kidding. It was a highlight. I had to go to the fort and, they have a wonderful library there as well as a library in town, and did a lot of research there in that town and at that fort, which is still extant today. And I got a lot of information there. Plus, I hate to say this, but I'm getting to the point where I remember so much of the stuff. For instance, there was a scene where she's sitting there having coffee and evaporated milk, and I'm remembering things from my childhood where these properties still existed. In fact, my first year in school was a one-room schoolhouse, so it was easy for me to draw on my own experience. So parts of it I had to really research online, parts of it I could draw from my own experience, but every single phrase that they spoke, everything they wore, everything they ate, I had to double check that it actually existed, not only in the 1870s, but out west, where mm-hmm. things were maybe a decade or two behind, for instance, out east.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have to say as a reader, and I mentioned this to you the other night when we spoke, I want to sit at that heavily laden table with its beautiful crystal and all, and the food that is served and at all the major meals that you take us to in this book. I was just drooling. You describe you describe the smells of things, the way they look on the platters, the way they get passed around the table is just really puts the reader right in the space. We leave whatever chair we're sitting in, and you put us right there at the table. There's some other fun things that you obviously had to research. Cadence goes out on horseback and does a little exploring in the area, and she comes across wild plums, mm-hmm. pecans. Tell us about the wild. There's a very funny scene with a wild. Tell us about Cadence and the wild plums.
Okay. Well, Cadence, as we've kind of established, was her own woman, and she would respond to her passions at the moment, and she'd react before she would think. Okay. On one such occasion, she was ticked off at the man that everyone expected her to marry, and he insulted her. We won't go into it right now, but she just took off running, and then she saw a horse, and she didn't care. She didn't have her split skirt on. She just jumped on the horse, petticoats flying. She took off. She just wanted to think. She just wanted to get away, because she always felt that she was wearing this stiff corset. She was wearing this bridle. She always felt so controlled, so confined. She had to get away. Okay, she gets away, and a thunderstorm starts. Well, her horse reared up, dropped her off, and she wrenched her foot, but she got to this place where there was wild plums. Unfortunately, she couldn't even reach them, but she could get the ones that had fallen and were a little bit older, and, you know, they had a musty smell, but she was so hungry. She hadn't eaten all day. She ate them, and she ate them, and she ate them until they were fermenting, and she got tipsy.
Yeah.
And she was sitting there in the rain singing all around the mulberry bush.
Oh, it's so funny. it's a wonderful scene. Let's take a quick break right now, Karen. We'll keep that in our minds, Cadence being a tad tipsy. And Ronan, why don't you let us hear a little bit about LA Talk Radio, and then a special song is going to follow right on its heels.
Hi, Jim Christina, your host for The Writer's Block, right here on LA Talk Radio. And this is just a reminder that while everybody's locked down with this COVID-19, working from home, getting bored, you do have an option, and that option is to go to www.latalkradio.com. See, at the .com, we've got it all, from music, sports, self-help. Hell, we even have talk. So why don't you tune in during the day while you're working and listen to what our great hosts and great shows have to say. And just a reminder, Thursday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, is the Writer's Block, brought to you by LA Talk Radio. So have yourselves a great time, stay safe out there, and remember, latalkradio.com.
It sings to me with a voice sweet and forlorn. It's been pushing at my back since the day that I was born, saying, come and take a ride with me. We're going someplace your heart's never been. Gonna blow right out of here like the dust on that Wild West Texas wind. Well, I tried to shut the windows tight, pretend I couldn't hear the howling just outside the walls. I built it my own fear. I almost threw away the key to the cell you put me in. But my spirit won't be shackled. It's like that Wild West Texas wind.
Wild West Texas Wind by my friend Carolyn Martin, the title track from a phenomenal CD of hers. And I don't know, as I was reading this book here, and Wild West Texas Wind just kept playing to me. And then I had to go to a map of Texas and make sure that Fort Davis was in West Texas.
That song captures the feeling of that area. I love that song.
Yeah. So we are chatting with our guest tonight, Karen Hulene Bartel, and we're talking about her book, Wild Rose Pass. Karen, let's see. I got a couple of questions. When you were doing all of your research, we've talked to many authors that have to really do a lot of in-depth research. How do you keep track of what you discover? Do you just have folders of information? How do you keep track of it so you can find again easily what you need at your fingertips when it's ready to insert that into the scene?
Well, how do I keep track of it? What I'll usually do is color code information. So I'll either research it online, or I do have some friends that are familiar with this that I will really just keep asking until I finally get the information from them. But I will insert paragraphs within the document that I'm writing, but perhaps yellow or green or blue or red, depending upon what I'm trying to emphasize. And I may not use those. In fact, I have like 20, 30 pages usually at the beginning and at the end of information that I either finally get to, eventually get to, or disregard. Mm-hmm. But I just put it in the documents later on, and then I kind of scan through it and pull it up where I need it, or sometimes I'll insert it, but color-coded, so I know this is just information. This isn't the actual prose.
Right, right. Because you do, you cover a lot of, we want people to read the book, so we don't want to do much of spoiler alert, except to say that this is a really fun read, and it's historical fiction. We call it romance. And that was a question we talked a little bit about the other night as well.
Yeah.
When is this, would you yourself as an author, would you call it, what do you call, what's this genre? What would you call it?
Well, technically, it is a romance because it goes from back and forth between the hero and the heroine as far as their points of view. But that is about where it ends. There is a romance, but it is tertiary to the story. Mm-hmm. It's mostly the history. It's mostly the drama. It's mostly dealing with what actually did happen in those days, mm-hmm. there in Port Davis, out in the Indian country at that point. And so I would call it more an historical Western, but technically it is
a romance. But there's, you do take us through all kinds of developments. And as a reader, we learn about land grant information and certainly the Apache raids and life in the fort, and just so much that it feels really like you're reading historic. Like if you were a gentleman, you would still enjoy this book. It's not a swooning and fainting all the time
at all
romance, you know. Where did you find anything as sort of a challenge, a big challenge? You write from two different points of view in the first person, kind of. How was that for you?
It's always harder for me to write from a male's point of view, you know, harder. And then you're never sure if it actually is coming off or not. because, you know, I'm a female, and however you try to place yourself in the feet of somebody else, the footsteps, you're guessing. So that was one challenge. I also had several editors during this one. And this, I'd mentioned that this was a difficult birth, because I had written this one for a different publisher, actually. And they said no after I wrote it. They said no, they didn't want a romance. Uh-huh. That's okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it was a while coming.
So how did you, it's a really great question then, because I think we're all interested in how a book is from birth to being published. So you're with Wild Rose Press.
Yes.
So how did you find Wild Rose, or how did that come about? How'd y'all meet?
Well, the actual name of the place where this happens is Wild Rose Pass. That is the true name. You can go there today. You can find it on the internet or drive there. But that I chose as the title. And when the first people turned me down, I said, let me start looking. And I found Wild Rose Press. I said, this is perfect. And luckily they said, yes, this is what they'll do. So it was a marriage made in heaven.
And it seems like that's a terrific publisher. We've had a number of guests from Wild Rose Press. And one of the things that I find really interesting is how much you all support one another on your Facebook pages and your social media. How have you, as an author associated with Wild Rose Press, how have you found that to be for you?
Oh, it's been wonderful. Because I have to admit that I'm not that good at tweeting. And yet you get on to the, they call it the Wild Rose Press promo groups. And all you do is post different links there, and all the other roses, as they call them, all the other authors, will repost, retweet. And that emphasizes whatever I do times several hundred. So you end up getting a lot more exposure.
Now, this book was published in this year. Was it April or, or May?
April.
April. So you also gave birth to it during the beginning stages of COVID.
Yes. Wonderful timing.
Kind of out of our hands, though, right? So how has that impacted you?
Well, there have been postponements, times four, delays. Heavens knows what things have been lost, gone through the cracks as a result. But, for example, we had something called a launch planned for April, right the week it came out. Well, with COVID, we said, okay, let's postpone it to June. Well, June came around. They said, okay, let's postpone it till August. Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost August now. We said, okay, let's make it November. But each time that it's postponed, fewer people can make it. You know, it's difficult. That's just one example. And usually I'll have a number of, I call them releases, but where I'll give little discussions about the book, but also I'll give free trainings, for instance, on how to publish it yourself or different things at libraries and local churches. And this year there hasn't been any of that.
This is a perfect time to take a break. And so let's do that. And let me do a little something about Out West Shop. Readers wanted. Want the book we're talking about tonight, Wild Rose Pass by Karen Hulene Bartel, or any of the Writer's Block featured authors? Easy peasy, one-stop shopping that supports independent booksellers and Out West Shop. When you purchase books at, now write this down, www.bookshop.org/shop/Out West Shop. Click the Writer's Block book list for recent titles that include the podcast link and browse Featuring Now list for titles featured on our daily post on the Out West Shop Facebook page. Explore all our categories. We pick them with you in mind. It's always a great day when you follow these four simple steps that support authors, booksellers, and Out West Shop. Shop, open package, read, and repeat. Now let's hear West Texas Heat by Teresa Burleson.
Way up here on this mesa, overlooking cedar and mesquite, gazing down at the beauty with a saddle for my seat, miles away from asphalt and noisy city street, the sun caresses me like a lover in the West Texas heat. It reminds me of his embrace and his kisses oh so sweet. Remembrances envelop me like an unexpected treat. The potent fragrance of the sage makes my memories indiscreet. Like our passion, it fills my senses, and my thoughts make a retreat to younger days of wild abandon when our hearts were made complete. Up here on this mesa, overlooking cedar and mesquite, with the sun above and red dirt beneath my horse's feet, memories warm me like our love and the West Texas heat.
That's West Texas Heat by my friend poet Teresa Burleson, who lives in Texas. And we're speaking tonight with our guest, Karen Hulene Bartel, about her book, Wild Rose Pass. Karen, are we back together?
We are. I'm so happy.
Well, it's live radio. There can always be a little glitch or two, but happy to be back with you. So we were talking a little bit about your process. And one question we always love, there's two questions we always love to ask. But the first one is, do you outline or are you a pantser?
I am 99% a pantser. I never know how a book is going to end. I have no clue. I'll go in with a general idea. There's an inspiration. I'll talk about that in a bit. But then I get a general idea of the characters. And then what I'll do is like little post-it notes. I'll make little tiny plots, but only for the next couple pages, maybe a chapter. And that's it. And it just comes to me as I write daily. Otherwise, I wouldn't know what to write about.
Because this was a complicated, not complicated, but many textured story with a lot of different elements that come in. So do the characters, do you have your cast of characters before you sit down to write? Or do even they introduce themselves to your imagination as you go?
It's a combination. I'll usually come up with a basic idea of the characters. For instance, the name for Cadence, I saw on a site nearby where they were building apartment houses, and the name of the builder was Cadence something. So, that's it. And I from there I go. But it grows. I'll have a general idea, but then they do evolve just through writing it. I won't say they actually talk to me, but they end up taking over to a certain extent. So
they
I'll
do.
Start out with an idea, but they finish it.
Mm-hmm. Do you write? Do you have a set time that you know? Is it daily? Is it when you have time? When do you write? How do you schedule that?
I up until 2 years ago, I always had at least two jobs plus writing. Finally, I did retire, although that may be coming to an end too. But I would always get up at 3:30 in the morning. It's when my mind is fresh and I have coffee and things start to click and I can actually think and I can write. As the afternoon progresses, it gets muddied in my thinking. I can't come up with the same ideas. I can edit, perhaps, but I can't write. So for me, it has to be every day, and it has to be early, early morning. And that's the only time it works. But I will also say, when I travel, and there's my inspiration, I will write in airports. I will write on buses if I'll get earplugs. I'll write on the toilet seat in the bathroom at midnight with the door shut so I don't wake my husband, you know.
Wow. So when you're moved, you're moved. You gotta write it down.
If I'm traveling, then I can write anywhere on the spur of the moment. I mean, I'm in a hotel lobby sitting there in the middle of the night writing. So I don't wake my husband, you know. Otherwise, at home, it's 3:30 in the morning.
Do you write electronically? I'm assume you're writing on a laptop or tablet or something, or do you write longhand?
Well, 99% of the time, it's on my computer. But about 5 years ago, I broke my finger, and I was in an arm cast. I had to do longhand. And believe it or not, I didn't have to rewrite this stuff. It just flowed, literally. But I haven't done it since. So it's just easier to use a computer.
that's very interesting, though. Do you have, when you get up at 3:30, do you have a special plate? Do you have a special chair or a desk or a quiet spot that you sort of your writing space?
Yes. Yeah. I have my office. And I have my muse, and I spell that M-E-W-S. I have my three cats and my dog, my cat, Ahula, my cat Ahula dog. So I have my muse in here, and they also help inspire me.
Yeah. Do you work on more than one project at a time, or do you just have one book from birth to finish before you start again?
Oh, that would be a luxury to have one. Well, what happens is I'll finish one. I will send it off. And then after it's accepted, then there's the whole process of editing. And it takes months to edit it and finish up and write the back pages and all these different pieces. So while that's going on, That's usually editing things I can do in the afternoon when my mind is not as clear as it is in the morning. for trying to think, you know.
Right.
In the mornings, I'll write the story. In the afternoon, I can edit some other document, some other book. But there are usually one or two in the post-editing process and then another one in the writing process.
Got it. Do you, this of course is the one question that we always ask, Karen. So this one won't surprise you. So talk to me about writer's block. Do you get it? Do you not get it? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with it if you get it? What do you think about it?
Interesting. I won't call it block. I've never just said, oh my gosh, I can't. I mean, there are days there, as I mentioned, times of day are better or worse for thinking clearly for me, but I have a trick that works for me. I call it playing dolls. Now, as girls, we all played dolls when we were kids, and we get together with our dolls, and I never had baby dolls. I always said lady dolls. And I say, okay, now they go here, and then they do this, and then they do that. So I have a couple friends that I will get together with for lunch, or I'll call even. And we'll sit there, and I call it playing dolls. So I'll give them the story up to this point, and I'll say, okay, now go. And then they will say, okay, well, then they do this, and then they go there.
That's brilliant.
It works.
That's brilliant. That's a first. I don't think we've heard that kind of imaginative answer, but I can see how that would work, could work. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see, Ronan, this is a great time to just take one more break and let's hear about Creative Edge.
You know, when Creative Edge Publicity was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't the same as other publicity firms. No, they work closely with their individual clients' needs and goals and push harder to get them noticed. Creative Edge believes that communication is an important part of the partnership, and that model is how they have built their success. They collaborate and work with local, national, and international media outlets and organizations to meet their clients' goals and needs. So Creative Edge, it's your brand and your future. Mickey Mickelson, publicist, www.creative-edge.services.
And we're back with our guest, Karen Hulene Partel. So, Karen, what is coming up next?
Well, I do have another book in the offing, and that is right now I'm waiting to hear back from my editor and my publisher. But that is, again, a little bit paranormal, a little bit romance. But, yes, it takes place in Japan. And have you ever heard of kitsune?
No.
Kitsune is, it actually is a word for fox in Japanese. But their foxes are sometimes, well, paranormal, magical. They're otherworldly. The closest thing I can come up with in America would be the concept of a werewolf. That is part human, part wolf, or an ape man, a yeti. But there it's part wolf. I'm sorry, part fox and part human.
Mm.
And it becomes kind of interesting. And this goes back several thousand years of belief that they still sometimes believe in. So it's interesting.
But whoa. And when do you have a sense of when that might be out?
Well, I am hoping it's going to be in the spring of 2021.
So close. I mean, it's hard to believe how quickly spring will come.
Yeah. Yes, this year.
Do you have any anything you'd want to share with a new emerging writer? Any words of wisdom from a published, much published author as you are?
Yeah, I would say, do you remember Andrew Carnegie? They had Genius of the Mind. I read that 1,000 years ago. But basically he was saying, let your mind do the work when you're asleep. Mm-hmm. So this is why I'll try and think about the book before I go to sleep, but then I'll wake up at 3:30 to write, and there is the next day's writing or the next chapter's idea, and that's how I write. So I would recommend you write every day, not necessarily because it's a habit, but just so that your brain is constantly thinking about this, even when you're asleep, even when you're driving to work or doing whatever else you're doing. It will come up with ideas that you consciously might not think of, but you just have to keep feeding it every day by writing.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent advice. That's excellent advice. For our folks that want to pick up your book and all of your books, where do they go? Where do you suggest?
Well, they can get them anywhere at all. Of course, online. One of the best places, of course, is Amazon. And let me just pull that one up. It is, I should have had this here. But it's available on Amazon. And here it is, Wild Rose Pass. And let's see, I can't give you the long title, but it is there, just Wild Rose Pass. Amazon, you could get it, but Barnes & Nobles or anywhere else their books are sold. But it is available in both online and a hardcover.
And if people wanted to follow you or reach you, what's a good way for them to do that?
Oh, the best way is just through my website, which is KarenHulineBartel.com. So it would be www.KarenHulineBartel.com. So KarenHulineBartel.com. And they can grab all the information they need for any of the books or any of the next events.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Well, this has really been fun chatting with you tonight, and I thoroughly enjoyed the book, Wild Rose Pass. I fell in love with Cadence and Ben, and I really liked Cadence's mom, Helen.
A lot of people like her.
Yeah, and her dad. It was really a wonderful read. Next week, we have Kathleen M. Rogers will be with us with her new book, The Flying Cutterbacks, and I just began reading that one this morning, and it'll be Kathleen's been with us before, so we'll be welcoming her back. And Karen, this was your first appearance with us tonight. How fun was that?
It was great. Thank you so very much for having me on board. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was a great pleasure. And to all of our author friends out there, keep writing. And to all of our reader friends, keep reading. And the words of our host, Jim Christina, who again was not able to be with us tonight, we are out of here.